Father, I just thank you for all who came out tonight to sit in your presence and to be with you on New Year's. Not in some bar, not just sitting at home watching TV, but Father God, being in your presence, receiving all that you have for them. So Father, we just thank you for everybody who came out. I'm going to a double blessing to be poured upon them tonight. And Father, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I have to make this quick tonight, I think, so y'all can eat before we come down here for New Year's. I said to God, what is today? Today's Monday, right? I lose track of my days when we get these kind of days. Sunday night, I said, all right, God, here it is. I got to do something tomorrow night. And what do I do? And he said, ocean. Ocean. That's already. So I'm sitting there doing something else, and I says, what am I going to do tomorrow night? And he said, ocean. I said, all right, so you're going to get ocean tonight, all right? I think it's really neat. Nobody's written a sermon about ocean. So, you're really going to be blessed tonight. So God's love for his children is as vast as the ocean. That's what he told me. It's all about God's great love, the ocean is. Ephesians 3:14, this is Paul's prayer. He said, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. This is what Paul was praying for the people, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly in love, on love, that you'll be able to take in with all Christians, the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, and rise to the heights. So he's just saying, I just want you to receive all the love that God has for them. Yeah. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. This is Paul still praying. God can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. That's how God works with his great love. He doesn't push himself on you. He just is there. His presence overshadows you. And he just wants you to feel his great love. I don't know about you, but I've been really thinking about how much God loves me. And I've been thinking about what I do for God. And we was coming, Teresa and I was coming down here today, and I said, and I start crying. I said, God has been so good to me all my life, all my life. He's protected me when I was in diverse situations. He raised me from the dead 4 times, And he's always, always, always blessed me. When people look at my life, they say, how can you say you're being blessed? God's always blessed me. Believe me, I know. And I just started crying. I said, I just hope I never disappoint God. I always want to return back to him what he has given to me. And I hope each one of you think that way too. Understand that everybody's going to go through trials and tribulations. But God is always with you in those trials and tribulations. He never leaves you anywhere by yourself. He's always with you. And if he's called you, then he's anointed you and he's appointed you, and he's going to go with you wherever you go. You'd never go anywhere alone. Dr. A.B. Simpson used an illustration which is about as good as I've ever heard. He said, being filled with the fullness of God is like a bottle in the ocean. You take the cork out of the bottle and sink it in the ocean, and you have the bottle completely full of ocean. The bottle is in the ocean, and the ocean is in the bottle. The ocean contains the bottle, but the bottle contains only a little bit of the ocean. And we're going to read that again, because that's what he said, being filled with the fullness of God is like a bottle in the ocean. You take the cork out of the bottle and sink it in the ocean, and you have the bottle completely full of ocean. The bottle is in the ocean, and the ocean is in the bottle. The ocean contains the bottle, but the bottle contains only a little bit of the ocean. Isn't that awesome? As I was reading what this man said, I thought about how God said, I'm going to put you in the river and hold you down to you. I drowned you. So he was filling me full of the river, but I only had a little bit of the river, right? So it is with the Christian, with you and I. We are filled unto the fullness of God, but of course we cannot contain all of God, because God contains us. But we can have all of God that we can contain. You want to read that one again too, all right? We are filled unto the fullness of God, but of course we cannot contain all of God, because God contains us, but we can have all of God that we can contain. In other words, God will fill you up as much as, with as much of himself as you want to be filled up with. If we only knew it, we could enlarge our vessel. The vessel gets bigger as we go on with God. You know, we can get more and more and more of God. Our vessel will enlarge. At this point, we should be saying, I want you to repeat. Just repeat what you're reading. Enlarge my vessel, Lord, and fill me with more and more of the fullness of God. You can say, amen. I don't care. Now, did you really believe that, or did you say because I told you to? Do you really want God to fill you full of him, or are you just saying that? This is what tonight's all about. God really wants to fill you with the fullness of who he is. All right, let's talk about what I looked up ocean, because I was trying to put it together a sermon. It says the ocean covers 71% of the earth's surface in one global interconnected body. There is one ocean. We call them by different names, but there is one ocean. I didn't know that. It contains 321 million cubic miles of water, or 3.5 times 10 to the 20th gallons. Now, I didn't understand it all that at all, but I put that out because it was on there, right? The ocean, this one big interconnected ocean, contains 97% of the Earth's water. That's 97 out of 100. That's a lot, isn't it? At its different point, the ocean is 6.8 miles deep. I thought that was pretty shallow myself, but that's what it said. There has been a marine census, an actual census of marine life, and it estimates that there are about 250,000 different species in the ocean. But, and here is the most amazing to me, less than 5% of the Earth's ocean has been explored. That just blew my mind. In other words, we know very little about God's ocean. Not only in the natural, but in the spiritual. Wasn't that interesting? All right, the scriptures give us two visions of the seas beginning, the seas beginning. The first is in Job 38:8. Job said, or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. I'm sorry, God said this, not Job. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come, but no further. And here your proud waves must stop. Let's read that again. Job 38:8. God said, or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. He's saying to the ocean, you can't go any further than this. There's a line drawn in the sand, and this is where you have to stop. Job gives us this wonderful birthing imagery, like a beloved child that is swaddled in darkness and clothed in clouds. But the child is strong-willed, wild and free, and needs some limits. Isn't that what our kids need? Our kids are strong-willed, believe me, mine are, wild and free, and they need some limits. And a child could be 100 years old. Don't say it's just limited to little 4, 5, 6-year-olds. God said in that scripture, thus far shall you come and no further. We know what happens when the limits are breached. The tsunami in Asia in 2004. Katrina in New Orleans in 2005. And the tsunamis that have just occurred. So we know what happens when the limits are breached. The ocean came past the line where God said, this is as far as you can go. And look at the destruction. So as I was reading this little tidbit in that little dictionary thing, I thought, you know, then that's telling me that the enemy brought that tsunami past the line that God drew. Or is that right? Amen? Come on. The sea is wild and strong and mysterious and ancient. The second view of the waters from Scripture is from Genesis, where the waters are pushed back to create the earth. In Genesis 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So the waters were always there from the very beginning. The waters were already there at the beginning. It is from the Spirit of God working in the waters that all life comes. But today we are more inclined to use scientific language when we talk about life coming from the waters. Four billion years ago, living cells developed in the deep ocean. We do not know how. This is what NASA says. No one knows quite how that happened, but it happened, and life began 6 billion years ago. 600 million years ago, life moved onto the land. Most of life's history is in the water. I believe that's where all the water spirits came from. So whether we are speaking from the scriptures or from science, we know that life comes from water. And maybe that is why we use water for new life and baptism. Maybe that is why Jesus invited Peter into the deep water. God is calling us into the ocean tonight. No more rivers, into the ocean waters, into the deepness of his love. Luke chapter 5 verse 1 says, so it was, as a multitude pressed against Jesus to hear the word of God, that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, I thought that was awesome that as I read these scriptures, how the people just kept pushing him until he was at the water's edge and had no place else to go. Now, when Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For Peter and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and who were partners with Simon and Jesus, said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. This ocean is all about, from now on, you are going to win souls. You're not going to be out there fishing and catch nothing, because God has opened up a window in heaven where we can now catch souls. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. Now I want to read again verse 4. When Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. God is calling us to launch out into the deep ocean of his love and become fishers of men. See, if you don't have that deep love of Jesus abiding within you, you are not going to be able to catch souls. It is the love of God in you that will draw all men unto Jesus. Isn't that what is said? So God wants to really, truly immerse us in his ocean of love tonight. Sometimes we are more comfortable on the shore with what we know than in trusting the wild, surprising abundance Jesus brings. You know, a lot of you are sitting here not just really comfortable where you're at, and you really don't want to go into this wild Jesus is working right now, doing things we've never heard of or seen before. All right? And we're surprised at some of the things that God does, right, to us and through us. But we're more comfortable to stay in the old. And God is calling us out of the old into the new. We are good at sitting in the darkness that we know, in our little mud holes. We are good with a babe in the manger. We're good with Christmas. But what really scares us is Easter. Jesus rose. The unmanageable, mysterious, powerful grace that knows no bounds and can't be contained. The deep water of God's infinite love. Awesome. We are very comfortable with Jesus when he's still a baby, laying in a manger, not causing any waves anywhere. But then when he rose again, he caused a lot of waves, did he not? And then from that point on, he started demanding that we do some work for him. Matthew 14:28 says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said to Peter, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I can't stand to read that scripture because every time I do, I get like to kick myself for not having enough faith to walk on that mud puddle. I do. But when Peter saw that the wind was boisterous, Peter was afraid and beginning to sink. Peter cried out saying, Lord, save me. That's where we're at. Right now, that's where the body of Christ is at. Oh, God, come and save me. Don't make me go into that deep water. Come on. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to Peter, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? We can no longer walk in any type of doubt or unbelief. We have to be full of the knowledge of God, knowing that God is with us and God is for us and God is leading us on. If you can't get to that place, then just stop right now. Just sit in a pew and warm the pew. And then one day you'll go to heaven and God won't. You'll just go up here and sweep the streets of gold. Amen. You won't do any great, fantastic thing for God. Life cannot be contained and God cannot be held back. So Jesus responds, do not be afraid. He's telling us, do not be afraid. We cannot hold back what God is doing in this dispensation time. It has to be done. And God is finding those few who will go forth and do it unafraid. They're just going to go forth. They're just going forth and they're doing the works of God unhindered by doubt and unbelief. And they're just going forth knowing that God is God. And if he spoke it, he's going to accomplish it. Hold on to that hope that got you into the ankle deep water. When you was first saved, hold on to that hope. Because when you first got saved, you got into ankle deep water. Hold on to that hope. And then I'm put down Ezekiel 47 and verse 2. He brought me out by way of the north gate. This is an angel of God talking to it. And this is Ezekiel talking. And led me around on this outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. God's been bringing us from glory to glory to glory, all right? Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water that came up to my waist. Some of you quit at the ankle start measurement, all right? And verse 5, again he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Well, tonight God is calling us out of the river into the ocean. If you thought you couldn't cross the river, you're going to really find out what it's going to be like trying to cross the ocean. Amen. You're going to either learn to swim or sink or swim. And I'm believing that every one of you tonight, you're going to learn to swim. And that you're not going to allow the enemy to come and destroy what God is doing through you and with you. Amen. I'm excited tonight because I know that I know that I know that God is doing an awesome thing tonight before we go into this new year, so that when we go into the new year, we're into the awesomeness of God. And I know that I know that I know that God is trying to work a works within each one of our hearts that the enemy will never, ever be able to undo. Now, can you trust this abundant loving God? My question to you tonight. Can you trust this abundant loving God? Are you willing to enter the deep waters where life begins? This is really the true life walk with God is really beginning. Are we willing to spend time in prayer looking for God's direction? Remember, he's been telling us to do that. And then follow it no matter where it leads. Are we willing to trust all shall be well? You know, God says all is well. Are we willing to trust all shall be well and believe that the love and power of God are uncontainable? Tonight is Ocean of Love night. It is a night to look at the beauty and mystery of God's great waters. It is also an invitation to dive in. God is calling us out of our boats of complacency and calling us into the deeper waters of his ocean of infinite love. Will you answer that call tonight? That's God's call to you. Will you let go of the world? And will you grab the hand of God and follow him wherever he leads? If you don't get out of your sin tonight, if you don't say yes to God tonight, you're going to have a year of 2019 of pure hell. But if you let go of your, I'm just telling you what God told me last night, or 5 o'clock this morning, really. But if you let go of your sins tonight and you enter into this ocean of God's infinite love and you step into 2019 pretty soon, you'll be stepping into the most awesome year you've ever lived. And only you can make that decision. Only you know where your heart's at, you and God. And only you and God know whether or not you're going to answer his call for holiness and purity. We cannot ever again sit in the house of God in complacency. We have to be walking with God in holiness and purity of heart. God is finished with his complacency. He's finished with people who sit in the house of God and sin over and over and over and over again. He's finished with husbands and wives that won't love one another and be an example to the world of what God's marriages really look like. He's done with that. And he's calling us out of all that mess tonight, and he's calling us into his ocean. I'm hoping that I got enough together here tonight for you to understand really what, when God spoke ocean to me, really what he was really saying. You know, between me seeking God's face and looking up things, you know, in the dictionary, whatever you call that thing. I'm hoping that I got enough here that it has gotten through to your maybe hard heart. Maybe your heart is just half soft. I'm hoping it went bypassed your brain and went straight into your spirit. Because you don't understand how important it tonight is. You know, I think it was Gabriel said, well, we aren't singing fast songs. We were singing love songs. We were singing songs that thanking God for who he is and what he's done for us. But for God, we wouldn't have no chance to go to heaven. But for Jesus dying on that cross, we would be going straight to hell. To be forever tormented. But tonight can be a new beginning for you. It can be a new beginning where you say, God, I surrender all. I want your love. I'm tired of this complacency. I'm tired of the ups and downs, the ins and outs. And I'm tired of all the trials and tribulations that the enemy puts me through. And what I want tonight is perfect peace. God, I want your love to just saturate me in the crown of my head, to the soles of my feet. And I want to be your child that will always say, yes, Lord. When I said I cried today, I did. I cried. I was up all night till 5:45 getting this together. And I cried all night as I was, you know, getting this and thinking about God's love and how much he really, truly does love me. And each one of you should be the same thing, how much he loves you, not how much he loves the congregation, but you. And all the wonderful things he's done for you. And even when you was in the fire, and even whenever he's going through all your tribulations and trials, God was there and God brought you through. You're still alive. Some of us should have been dead in our trials and tribulations. But we're still here. And, you know, God's brought you forth because you're strong leaders. And God is asking you the same bullheaded attitude you had when you was in sin. He wants you to take that bullheaded attitude, serve him, and destroy the devil. And bring light into a dark, dark world. And God has been dealing with marriages all this year. If you don't get your marriage together tonight, it's done. Because God has called you to love one another, not to fight one another. He called you together so you'd have fellowship, not separation. This is a night of turnaround. And only you can turn around. Only you can make that decision. Everything's totally up to you. All right, Nancy's going to play Oceans by Hillsong United. You've heard that song. I want you to listen to the words of the song. And if you want to answer God's call out into his ocean, the altar's open, or you can sit in your seat and surrender your all to the Father and answer his call into deeper still. There's still a deeper place that God wants us to go into with him. We have not arrived yet, guys. We have not arrived yet to that deeper place in God. We have not. We have not. There's still more that God wants for each one of us. I'm asking you, if you're a sinner, if you're still out there sinning, I'm asking you to give that up tonight. And I'm asking you to surrender your all to God. Every bit of you, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet.